you know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Any of them savvy English?
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
I can see things no one else can see.
Obviously, I'm not saying that I've been everywhere and I've done everything.
It's all in the reflexes.
Welcome to It's All in the Reflexes, a podcast all about the greatest movie ever made, John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China. I'm Luke, that's all you really need to know about me, but I'm a super fan of this movie, and that's why I started a fan page on Instagram at Bigger Trouble in Little China. Also go to patreon.com/biggertrouble or follow the link in the description of this episode, or go to Instagram and follow the link in my bio at Bigger Trouble in Little China. So let's get started, and welcome to It's All in the Reflexes.
Well, you just stare that big sucker right back in the eye, and you remember what old Jack Burton always says at a time like that. Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir, the check is in the mail.
You will come out no more. Jack Burton, Wang Chi, Egg Chan, and some of Chang Sing's are going through underneath Chinatown in the catacombs of San Francisco in a place called the Bog of the Fallen Trees. They are going through these to try and find a secret way into Lo Pan's domain and rescue Mao Ying and Gracie Law. They are walking past what Egg describes as black blood of the earth. Not oil, black blood of the earth. So they are walking along past this river, underwater river of black blood, and we're up to the point where it starts to bubble under the ground. So they all stop and look down at this, the pool of water. It's all bubbling up. There's sort of a loud growling noise, and everyone gets their weapons ready. And Jack asks, obviously always the first ones to ask, what is that? And then he turns to Wang and sort of says, it sounds like, before he's finished, Wang finishes his sentence, something breathing underwater. And then we cut to a lonely Chang Sing that's standing at the back of the group, all the way at the back, which is a bad thing to do in any kind of movies. So he's standing there and he hears a noise coming from this sort of hole, this hole in the wall. And then there's this monster that comes out, grabs the Chang Sing by the head, and then pulls him back into the wall. Everyone just watches. They get their weapons ready, but they don't actually do anything. Egg grabs some marbles from his bag and shines a torch on them. So I'm not sure if he's trying to shine the torch on them to make sure he's got the right marbles, or he has to activate them with the light of the torch. So he has a look at what he's holding, and he throws the marbles into the hole, and the monster explodes, and he says, "You will come out no more." Jax asks, what will come out no more? And then they go off. So let's get into this. This creature here is called the sewer demon. And this is taken from the script. When the creature strikes behind them, some kind of slimy thing, the sewer demon. Who the hell knows it's moved so fast, right out of the hole in the sludge-caked walls, 4-inch fangs grabbing a Chang Sing and yanking him backwards into the wall. So that's how it was described in the extract of the script that's in the book, Making of Big Trouble in Little China. The person inside is a person called Nobel Craig. He does a lot of these creatures in these sort of movies. People that worked on Poltergeist 2 worked on this movie as well, and he played the creature called the vomit creature. And what happened to him was when he went to the, it must be a soldier, when he went to the war, he jumped out of a helicopter and landed on a landmine, and it blew off both his legs and one of his arms. So they used him again for this. They used him in Poltergeist 2, which they do also use some of the skeletons from Poltergeist 2, as I said before, in the Hell of the Upside Down Sinners. So what they did was put him this whole creature on this like on huge tracks, and you know, Clark was on top in the costume, and they kind of just so they could roll him out like a roller coaster tracks, little train tracks, and then push him out and pull him back in. Then we cut back to the White Room, where before Mao Ying was floating, and so we now see Mao Ying and Gracie Law. They are all dressed up in the red wedding dresses and looking amazing. Great costume designs here, I think. They are still asleep, they're still under the spell, but somehow Gracie Law can wake up. I'm not sure the point of this movie is. I think it's maybe it's just a point of this scene. Just supposed to tell us where they are, what's going on, just to bring us back to what's going on with Mao Ying and Gracie Law, and just now to tell you that they are dressed for the wedding. So Gracie sort of tries to get Mao Ying to wake up, then she hears a noise and Lightning walks in. So Lightning walks in and stands and does his cool lightning effect with his hands. This is the only other person you see use this is at the beginning of the movie. Egg Chan does the same, but nobody else does. And that's, as like I said on that episode, You Leave Jack Burden Alone. That scene was put into the movie to make Jack Burden more heroic. But yeah, I always find it quite strange that they're the only two people that use this kind of magic. So for some reason, he has to come into this room, make this lightning, and glows everything up. And then we see Mao Ying and Gracie, their eyes suddenly open, and they're all white, all gone. So they're now under another spell, I guess. We now cut back to Jack Burton. He's crawling along this, I'm not quite sure what it is. He's by himself. He's at the back of the group. They've now got themselves into this sort of crawl space, and they're crawling along. Jack's got his knife back in his mouth, even though he's sharpened it, but it doesn't cause him any damage because he's Jack Burton. But he's got it in his mouth, but he's walking along. But this is a really strange part, because whatever this secret way to get into Lo Pan's, they call it his domain, his floor of underground, I like to call it sort of a fortress or a lair. This is not really explained very well, but he's in this place and he's got light bulbs. So what the lighting is like proper light bulbs. So he's well up to date with this old, the new technology used here all the time in this film, which is great. I'm not picking holes. It just, when you do start looking at it, it does make you wonder. What happens is Wang slides down this hole. So he's gone. Wang's actually in front of Jack. Jack doesn't know where he's gone. So he shouts out, "Wang, Egg." And then Wang just shouts, "Come on." Now Jack slides down this, it's concrete or stone hole at the moment, but as when he slides out into another room, he slides down to a metal pipe. So this is almost like trying to say this is some way they pour fish down this hole, which it wouldn't work, but anyway. So he lands on this pile of fish, dead fish, and then Wang starts to tell him where they are. "It's okay, Jack. We're in Wing Kong's storage room. Emergency provisions. We're inside Lo Pan's domain." And then there's a rat on one of the fish, and that freaks Jack out. He gets up and comes face to face with one of the Chang Sings, biting the head off one of the fish, eating it, and then offering it to Jack. And Jack just says, "Later." Doesn't say no, he just says, "Not right now." He just says, "Later." So I don't really understand what this room is. Not that it matters, but it's supposed to be some kind of storeroom where they store these fish, and I guess the fish are all hanging up on like a clothesline. I guess that's how you smoke them. Yeah, but these are not just the storeroom. These are emergency provisions. Probably this is the meal for the wedding, for the Wing Kong wedding party. You know, just made me think, and maybe I wonder what Lo Pan's bachelor party was like. Maybe that's why in the last scene he was so grumpy in the last episode when he's doing the burning blade. Lo Pan's sitting there just so grumpy. Maybe he's actually hung over from his bachelor party. But so yeah, they're in this room. the now inside, as Wang describes it, Lo Pan's domain. So now, Egg has some bad news. So we're getting close. We're getting real close. But now for some bad news. Ready? He says, it's kind of the joke is that prepare yourself for some bad news, but it doesn't give you any time to prepare. Ready? Jack's like, this gets worse. So now we get into Egg-chan trying to explain kind of the whole plot again almost, but trying to explain it again, that the first emperor subjugated Lo Pan, made him of no flesh, made him only an evil dream. Jack's fed up. He's like, just get to the goddamn point, Egg. Like, what I like about what Jack always is us, he's the audience watching this, kind of like asking the questions that what we are thinking. So Egg explains, in order to be whole again, he had to find a certain girl of his prophecy and marry her to appease the god of the east. So not the emperor, there's something else, there's a god of the east that he has to marry, a girl with green eyes, and that will appease the god of the east. But to appease the emperor, he has to kill her. But Wang doesn't like, no. And Jax again says what we're thinking. Well, let's go. What are we talking Chinese history for? We are getting... yeah. Let's go and rescue her. We are getting ready to strike the final blow, Egg-chan says, and holds up the flask that is being carried around. When we reach Lo Pan, the power in this flask will be only our only hope against the Bohevists of the underworld. I'm not saying that right. The ultimate evil spirit. Only a dream can kill a dream. Now that's cool. That should be put on a t-shirt somewhere. Only a dream can kill a dream. Egg has been waiting for a long time for this, he tells Jack. So he's been getting ready to fight Lo Pan and has been planning this, and now it's all coming together. So this probably explains why Egg has stayed locally and he's been maybe been preparing all those things in his in the firehouse, in his garage, the all those potions, getting everything ready for the day where Lo Pan is at his most vulnerable, when he was going to get married. Because Egg-chan knows that at that day, he will become flesh and will become mortal and will become able to be killed. So then the Changxing, one of the Changxings is looking out the door, sort of sparks up, says something in Chinese, and the Egg-chan runs to the door and looks out. And we cut to the Wing Kong guards walking past. Wang tells Jack that the Wing Kong are outside. Then as the Wing Kong walk past the door, Egg, Jack and Wang come out and see them walking away. But then they see two guards walking towards them. So they run off behind, around the corner, and the Changxings go back into the room. And then these two guards walk towards them down the corridor. These are called the Spirit Path Warriors, or sometimes called the Wing Kong Warriors, but the Spirit Path Warriors. So from the script, it describes it as moving through an endless corridor, lined life-size figures of the door guards, these great imperial statues, clad armor, holding battle axes, sporting whips, chains, bows and arrows, and their stone hair standing on end. So these are for Lo Pan's wedding, these spirit guard warriors. They are human guards, dressed in the costumes resembling the armour of these figures that are standing, that these figures that you see, and these also called door guards. And they are to stand the perimeter of the Great Arcade. This is the Great Arcade is where they have the big fight at the end of the movie. So they just walk past Egg and Jack and Wang, and Jack is ready with his knife and gun, and he knows they can see him. They're not going to just walk past, but they do. They just walk past, and Jack, they all kind of watch them leave, these guards, and the Changxing come out, and Jack goes to Egg and asks another question. Are they real? And he goes, yep. and they're dressed for Lo Pan's wedding. So Jack also has more questions. He wants to go back. He was going to ask another question back in that room, I think. He was like, he had more questions back in that room. And he asked, he needs to ask Egg Chang now. What's in the flask, Egg? Magic potion? Egg Chang's response is just, yeah. Thought so. Good. Do we drink it? Yes. Good. Thought so. And then they walk off. And that's where I'm stopping it, at 1 hour, 10 minutes and 30 seconds of this fantastic movie. Now, I normally like to talk about what goes on the commentary between on the DVD between Kurt Russell and John Carpenter. But for this part, they are still talking about directors and making movies and talking about what I said on the last episode. They're still talking about visions of directors and storytelling and things like that. They're not talking about the movie at all. But near the end of this scene, Kurt Russell does start to sort of talk about what people weren't happy about this movie, were some of those things that people weren't happy about Big Drum, Little China. And it was this kind of sense that he was saying that they're not in any trouble. You never really feel like Jack Burton or any of them are going to get really in any danger. But it's not that kind of movie. It's like, and he's not there for any reason. Jack Burton's not there. He's just really there to get his drug back. And that he describes it as he's not in love with Gracie Law. He's not like, she's not the damsel in distress. He's just there. He goes, but they knew that they were going to sort of bring it back round with that whole sort of, you're not even going to kiss her at the end. So they kind of talk about that at the end of this. So yes, I hope you'll join me for the next one. Thank you for listening.
If you want to contact me, email me at biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. It would be great to hear from you. Also go to patreon.com/biggertrouble or follow the link in the description of this episode, or go to Instagram and follow the link in my bio at biggertroubleinlittlechina. There's a lot of stuff on there for free. You don't have to pay. Just join Patreon. And that's not just for this podcast. It's for all the podcasts produced by Bigger Trouble Podcasts. There are so many and more to come. But if you do want to join, you can for just £1 plus VAT a month. And that gives you so much behind the scenes stuff, extra episodes, early access, photos, videos, and so much more. Please check it out. patreon.com/biggertrouble. If you want to contact me, DM me on Instagram or email me at biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. biggertroublepodcasts@yahoo.com. It would be great to hear from you. Please follow, rate, subscribe, and leave 5 stars on whatever platform you listen on.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
It's all in the reflexes.